Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Today is the first day of the phase four of the MCO, and it began with a slight easing of restrictions. Two people from the same household can now go out to purchase essential items. This must come as a relief, I'm sure, to many, especially to single parents. Anecdotally, I've heard of single mums and dads getting told off for bringing their children to the grocers, and some have really struggled without any support. So hopefully this brings some relief, don't you think, Sharad?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're looking forward to a time when more relaxation happens and that allows people to make choices for themselves, but also, you know, with the full knowledge of what it would mean to let their guard down and not, you know, consider all that they need to when they go out or when they are in more crowded spaces. I think that is something that, again, we hope that the public education dimension of this campaign really gets re-internalized, the idea of social distancing.
Because it really does require the buy-in of the public. It's not just about enforcement of the MCO. We must really live this. You know, I'm curious to know how, you know, both must be of the same family, living in the same residence, so whether you're going to have to prove that with some kind of address on your IC if you get stopped at a roadblock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, the police and the army personnel that are at roadblocks use their discretion and also, you know, earn the side of generosity. I mean, if you are going to treat everybody as a suspect, as somebody potentially wanting to violate, you know, the rules of the MCO, then you only create the kind of conditions that will end up filling up those MCO prisons. You know, and what's going to happen with that when the MCO ends?
Well, today at the daily briefing, Director General of Health, Dato' Nur Hisham Abdullah, said that the government is now considering relaxing non-close contact exercise soon. And this is, of course, provided that we observe social distancing and there are no mass gatherings. So if you look at Singapore, even though there is what the government calls the circuit breaker, the lockdown, there is some kind of leeway. Joggers are still allowed to run, provided that they maintain about, I think, a 10-meter distance from other people. Perhaps now Malaysia is looking at those types of easing conditions.
Yeah, so there's the government, whether the government is considering... The other thing is whether people are ready. And again, we come back to the same point. Mm. I mean, go to a park and you can congregate in spots in a park if you chose to do so. I mean, or you can, you know, acting on the basis of some self-preservation and also what is good for your community, then make those decisions for yourself. Mm. Right. And of course, I know that a lot of people will be wondering, you know, when the gyms are going to be open. Many people, not that many fitness freaks out there, but I know that those who aren't allowed to go to their gyms, this has been, this MCO has been a real dampener on their, you know, fitness routine.
Well, looking at Sarawak, for instance, they are saying that they will decide what industries to open up and when, according to the situation locally. So they say that they know the situation best in Sarawak, and they will make sure that whatever decisions they come to, they will put put Sarawakians as a top priority. So this is quite interesting because there were some economic projects that MITI had approved to be able to operate in Sarawak, which the territory says are in red zones. That means the number of COVID cases are above 40. So Sarawak is now re-looking these projects and saying, well, we will then decide. We have the final say as to whether it is appropriate to operate or to open up in Sarawak's environment.
You know, what's interesting, Melissa, when we spoke to the Chief Minister of Sabah last week, Shafi Abdal, he made pretty much the same point. We asked him, you know, what were the legal or constitutional issues around this? We know that the law that was invoked for the MCO, the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988, you know, that's a national law, federal law, but the, you know, what, if you remember what Shafi Abdal said was that yes, there is this law, but you know, we know the ground situation better. And it does, you know, bear thinking about the federal nature of the state, of the country, and also the way in which power is or isn't devolved in our country, and whether the way we have structured governance is beneficial, has been beneficial in these past couple of weeks dealing with the COVID crisis, or in fact is ultimately a barrier to better operationalize the principles that we are now seeing. So there can be more sensitivity to local conditions.
Well, another point we would like you to consider tonight is the argument raised in the opinion piece by Star Media Group's advisor, Datuk Sri Wong Chun Wai. It was titled, "We Have Become Poorer, Live With It," and it came out on Monday. In it, he wrote, and I quote, "The situation is far worse when workers refuse to accept pay cuts by ignoring calls to make voluntary sacrifices because they are only making it harder for their employers to sustain their businesses. And the moral of the story is, it's better to hold on to our jobs with lesser pay than it is to accelerate the end of days of our companies," end quote. This is certainly very interesting to me, Sharad. What did you think?
Well, Melissa, you know, it's always difficult to take advice from millionaires and billionaires.
About pay cuts?
About pay cuts, or a belt tightening, or living simpler lives. I mean, but that aside, I think Chun Wai does seem to have some important points to make, especially with, which is what the bulk of our economy is run on, the small and medium-sized enterprises don't have the kind of wiggle room to perhaps, you know, absorb the costs of the MCO or, in fact, the recession looming.
I completely understand that. Perhaps, you know, with the smaller, with SMEs, micro SMEs, it's more difficult to say, don't take a pay cut. I get that, but I'm wondering whether this advice can be kind of applied across the board, particularly as that statement, you know, the situation is made far worse when workers refuse to accept pay cuts by ignoring calls to make voluntary sacrifices. How do we digest this? I mean, who takes a pay cut? Are we looking at perhaps, you know, the top tier of management taking a more significant pay cut than the rest of the company? Perhaps if you look up and you see your bosses taking a significant pay cut, then you might then be a bit more well disposed to taking less money home every month yourself.
Yeah, and also, you know, we've had, you know, CEOs of big companies asking for bailouts or asking for public monies to be spent. The question people were asking, well, you know, you made profits. The profits you took on for yourself. You build your big palatial homes. You live lavish lives. Are you going to downsize in this? Should you be plowing back the profits that you made back into the company and saving the jobs that you say you, you know, and the livelihoods of the individuals you say you're concerned about? I mean, that is ultimately a trust issue.
Yes.
And I don't know how many CEOs and managers build trust with their workers, sharing financial information.
Right.
So that when they ask for a sacrifice, people believe that this is something they're in together with.
But also during good times, those good time gains shared accordingly, so that you can also ask for some belt tightening when it's bad times. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and after this, we'll take a look at Malaysia's targeted testing approach. Can we lift the MCO and open up the economy without adopting mass testing? We'll speak to a public health medicine specialist in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.